Well, it is a new year. That always seems to precipitate just looking ahead to the making of plans, to setting the course. And perhaps already to some degree, whether a small amount or a great amount, you've wondered a little bit about what 2011 holds for you. Perhaps you've asked some others what they look for in the coming year for them. Among us, there's kind of a wide range of earthly life happenings that are before us for 2011. There are some among us for whom 2011 will be their very first year of life. For others, it's the next grade in school, marks that they're growing up. For some, it's going to be a year of significant transition. Maybe you're going to go away to college. We've got five in that category who are going to be finishing high school and going away to college this year, if they finish high school. For some, it's being a parent. There's some job adventures before some of us. So for some of us, at least, there's going to be significant happenings that we already are anticipating in the year. For many of us, it's going to be another year in the midst of the years. We're not getting started in 2011, and the Lord willing, we're not finishing in 2011. Rather, we're adding to all that good stuff in the middle. But for all of us, from young to old, we will be sharing kind of part of the earthly pilgrimage that takes place in the coming year. And we also, of course, share in just being the people of God and that spiritual pilgrimage that we are on. As we look for a city of whom the builder and the architect is God himself. So we're very close to the end of our study in the Gospel of John. And the verse that's governed our study through the whole gospel is the final verse of chapter 20, and it's this one. Hopefully you know it well by now, where John says, a lot of other things took place. I could have wrote about them as well. But the things that he did write down, they have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John wrote all the stuff he did in his gospel so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, believe that he is the Son of God, and that believing we might find life in his name. So John is very much concerned about you getting a life. I think it's neat that he thinks getting a life is connected to believing. Getting a life is not connected to parties or promotions or possessions. Getting a life doesn't arise from our own efforts, our own talents, our own abilities, our own accomplishments. Getting a life, from John's perspective, arises from believing. But he is concerned that we be a people who have a life. I think when John says that we might find life, he means it also in a very comprehensive term. It's a term that applies to both what's inside of us as well as what's around us and outside of us. John doesn't want us to be dead inside. He wants that what's inside of each one of us to be alive, to be life, to be full of life. He doesn't want you to be just a whitewashed sepulcher, look good on the outside, but be dead inside. But he doesn't want us to be dead outside either. He doesn't want you full of life on the inside and then, nothing on the outside either. He wants our relationships to be truly marked by the life that comes in Jesus Christ. He wants the living of our lives, just the happenings of daily life, the earthly pilgrimage that we on, to be marked by life. So for just a few minutes, consider the life that you're going to have in 2011. The life that you're going to live in the coming year. As always, in the living of life, there's a significant passive element. So all of us wonder what life will throw at us in the coming year. So all of us will be on the receiving end of stuff that comes our way, and we'll have to figure out how to make the best of it, or the worst of it, or whatever, but we'll be passive, because it'll just come our way, it'll happen to us. And it very well could be that in 2011, the passive element will be a major part of your life, or of our life together. Well, God might send some major things your way. Could come in the form of health news, job change, happenings with loved ones. Just none of us know what's going to come our way, be sent our way. But that some things will be is certain. So there's a significant element always in the living of life of just how do we respond and deal with what comes our way. But also in life, there's a significant active element. Part of life is determined by our choices, by our pursuits. We even make choices, of course, about how we respond to things that happen to us. How we make choices about how we handle what's given to us. But we also make choices when we have pursuits according to our desires and according to our dreams, according to our hopes. Probably most of you are dreaming at all or hope in 2011 to get a stainless steel propeller. That's not one of your desires, but it might be mine. So you and I might make some choices and direct 2011 to the end of getting a stainless steel propeller. So all of us can do order life somehow, take an active element by making decisions and having certain pursuits. We make choices about what to pursue. You have to make a choice whether you're going to pursue the propeller or not. And then you choose how you're going to pursue it. You know, maybe you won't paint the bedroom so you can get the propeller. I'm making a plan even right as I speak here. But, I'll probably nix it already. So here's a verse. I want us to just gather a few thoughts around it. As you think about what the life that you're going to live in 2011. Taken out of 1 Timothy, Paul says, but flee from these things. He's just identified a few things. I'll reference them in a second. You probably already know. But he just says, flee from some things, you man of God, person of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Go after those things. The very next verse says, fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. But here, an exhortation to pursue some things, and in a little list of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So just gathering a few thoughts around that verse. I want to encourage us all just that it's necessary and it's right to pursue. It's necessary for all of us to run after some things, to chase, to move toward. It doesn't encourage us in that verse, obviously, to a float trip, does it? So for all of us, I just want you to know, you can't yet declare the end of the pursuit. You can't just settle down. Say, okay, I think I'll stay right here. It's right and necessary to pursue, to run after. So embrace the pilgrimage part that's still ours. Be okay with the fact that right now it's life on the road. You're still a pilgrim. So just that part. Make your peace with it's right for you to pursue. That probably is exciting to some of us. Maybe perhaps there's others. You know, I'm kind of sick of pursuing. I'd be okay with just coasting for a year. But I want to encourage us all, still on the road, you have to pursue. And I also want to encourage you to press forward. Look to the road ahead. You can't settle down, but neither can you go back. Whether the road behind you was wonderful or difficult, you can't go back. So for some, perhaps the road behind was very good and is attractive. But I want to encourage you not only to pursue, but look to the road ahead. What's the Lord set in front of you? Maybe the road ahead will be very similar to what you've been on. Maybe, in a sense, you're like halfway through Kansas as far as life. And so the second half of Kansas looks a lot like the first half. It's still making progress, but you know maybe the next part of the road is going to be very similar to the road you've just traveled. On the other side, maybe the next part of the journey is going to be very different. Maybe you're going to go from hard to easy. Maybe you're going to go from easy to hard. Maybe you're moving out of the plains into the mountains. Maybe you're coming down out of the mountains into the desert. Maybe you're coming from the uninhabited places to the inhabited places. I don't know. But look ahead. And I want to encourage you not only to pursue, but to embrace whatever the Lord sets in front of you. Because you can't go back. So whether life that comes to you in the coming year is the same or very different, encourage us all, forget what lies behind. Press on. Whether the past was full of awe, meaning awful, or whether the past just had some awe, like it was awesome. Yeah. Like whatever it was, forget what lies behind and press on. For Christians, the road ahead should not be determined by the past. The road ahead should be determined by the future, by the things that are promised to us, by the kingdom that's coming, by the hope that's out in front of us. So to change the illustration a little bit, if you think of burning, having a fire, your fire in 2011, what logs are you going to burn in 2011? Where are you going to get the logs to light your fire? I don't think they should come from the past. Not logs, you know, that came from past hurts or past wounds or injuries or resentments or losses. Not past sorrows. Don't get the logs from there. Don't get logs from the past honors. You've met people probably who are living on, you know, burning the log of, I was a homecoming queen, you know, 42 years ago. Okay, like, well, that log kind of burned out by now, right? So past honors, past accomplishments, past experiences. Now, don't get your light from 2011 from those things. Rather, get some logs from the future, from the promises of God that are given to His people, from the hope that we have, from coming glories. So, press forward. The verse does remind us that pressing forward involves fleeing some things. None of us can take all roads. And you can't take all baggage on the road. So some roads must be forsaken in order to take other roads. And you must leave some baggage behind. This is the passage in Timothy that speaks of how the love of money is the root of many evils. And it talks about foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. It's amazing how serious the language is, that just desires, which we usually think of as innocent, but Paul says some desires can be foolish, and they can be harmful, and they can put you on a path that plunges men. You know, it sounds like journalistic write-up almost. Plunges men into ruin and destruction. But it's probably accurate. The same passage that speaks of how it's possible to have pursuits that will pierce your soul with many a pang. So, before you think of kind of the positive, realize there's some things that you must flee. If you're going to run the race, some things that you're going to have to leave behind. You know, maybe they're obvious things, but I encourage you to take a few moments and think about what maybe should you leave behind. A road you shouldn't take, or baggage you shouldn't try to take with you. You know, maybe it's obvious. Maybe you're being dishonest with finances or with your words. Flee that. Leave it behind. You know, maybe it's something sexual or something. That doesn't fit with the other things on the list. Time to flee those things. You know, maybe it's something that's harder to detect, more culturally acceptable. You know, maybe it's just some attitude that you have. Maybe it's some desire that you carry. But it's foolish and harmful. And it will pierce your soul with pain if you don't flee it. Maybe it's something that's just selfish and self-serving. If I want the stainless steel propeller, I have to ask, does that fit with the other things on the list? And if not, sayonara to the stainless steel propeller. But I would encourage us all that part of your thought, part of your prayer here at the start of the year should be, Lord, what do I got to leave behind? What just entangles me or holds me back or, you know, puts me facing the wrong direction? What should I flee? But the main thing that I wanted to think about today is not the things to leave behind or the flight things, but what should you chase after? What should you pursue? What do you hope to find and take hold of? You know, often when we think of what lies ahead, we think in terms of projects and activities. So perhaps if somebody's asked you, well, what lies ahead in 2011? You know, you tend to answer that question by the list of projects or activities. Well, I hope to find a job, or I'm going to remodel the house, or I want to tour Australia, or I want to buy the gizmo. But again, notice one more time this list in Timothy. Things it says to pursue, things it says to aim at. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. That's not the typical list of New Year's resolutions, is it? It isn't, interestingly enough, not even the typical pursuits of lots of churches. It doesn't say here, pursue church growth, pursue evangelism, or pursue programs to meet people's needs. Even those things don't make the list. I want to encourage us, and next week we'll talk more about what we should pursue together. Because I think part of what we should think of is not just ourselves individually, but what does the Lord have for us? So I do want us to think of what we should pursue together. What does it mean to be the Church of Jesus Christ and be on pilgrimage? But it's not the list of, well, as a church we should have some flagship program that we can all rally behind. That doesn't feel like this verse. So just notice this list. Righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness and an exhortation, run after those things. So think about the pursuit for your individual life and for your individual walk. What does it mean for you to fight the good fight? What does it mean for you to run the race? And also we want to think about, well, what should we pursue and run after in our walk together as people of God? What should we pursue together in order to grow up into Christ? But for today, I just want to commend to you the things on that list. I'm not asking you to just give a nod of approval that you think that those are good things. Oh yeah, I think righteousness is cool. You know, I think godliness, yeah, that's it. So I'm not asking us just to give a nod of approval. I mean, they are good things. I trust we would all give them a nod of approval. I'm asking you to consider, what does it mean for you to pursue them? If you take thought for those things, what does that mean? If you take pains with those things, if you make every effort with respect to those things, what does that mean? What will it look like? I do think the pursuit is multifaceted in many dimensions. So that if you pursue righteousness, it has indeed many facets and dimensions to it. By way of analogy, pretend that we were all single, and for 2011, we've decided to pursue marriage. That might end up, that pursuit might result in you doing many, many things. The pursuit might entail buying a computer so you can do the eharmony.com thing. Pursuit to marriage might involve that. And having a friend over to teach you how to use the computer or something. Of course, the pursuit, on the other hand, might entail not buying the computer because you're saving for the wedding. You might research toothpaste in order to get brighter teeth. You know, or skip McDonald's so you can look nice. You perhaps will need to be vulnerable. You might have to learn to, if you're a guy, express your thought and your feeling. You know, you probably have to make some sacrifices. Probably have to spend some time and spend some money. You have to probably pray a lot. So there's probably all kinds of things that a pursuit of marriage would result in over the course of the year if you were pursuing that. From small, trivial, kind of peripheral things to things right in the center of meeting somebody and forming a relationship. So likewise, perhaps the pursuit of righteousness and godliness and faith and love, I think it's many dimensioned and multifaceted. But again, I'm not asking you just to give a nod of approval. So yeah, those are good things. But to ask, what does it look like to aim at them and to chase them down? In some ways, what I'm saying is pretty simple. I'm saying to all of us, in 2011, be a pilgrim and get on with it. Well, be content to be the pilgrim. You're on the road. You're not yet there. Haven't yet arrived. Still be content to be the pilgrim and get on with it. Run the race. I'm saying nothing more than just find the good race and then run it. To start of last year, one of the things that was very much on my heart was to encourage people of God to fervency, to earnestness. That there are, Jerusalem is always uphill. And some things, unless we love fervently, unless we walk in earnestness, unless we pray earnestly, they don't happen. They don't happen to the ones who are lukewarm. So put those two things together, started this year, think of what you're going to run after as you assemble the list, some of which is going to be determined just by your desires and by your hopes and by your dreams, by what you want life to be. So first, as you put that list together, consider Paul's input, at least to Timothy, of here's the list that you could pursue, some good things. Not the typical list, but perhaps things that are appropriate for people of God. And then how are you going to do it? What does it look like for you to really be after this? To really be chasing it down with some earnestness, with some fervency, with genuine pursuit. Think about those things that are active, that you're going to choose and pursue because you want life to be like that. And maybe you want to say, you know what, it's hard for me to forget the past. It's hard for me not to just have all the logs for the fire for this year come from the past. Maybe you want to say, you know, there's some things hard for me to flee. They have a pretty good grip on me. Maybe you're going to find that some of your desires are not of the good variety, but of the foolish and harmful variety. Maybe together, if we were honest, we'd say, you know what, we don't want to be the church, we just want to have nice lives. That's really what we desire. Or maybe you're just lazy, it's a possibility, right? Or weary, perhaps. Maybe you say, you know, all that talk about pursuing something and running, and how about a slow walk, you know? I'm ready for a rest. And so maybe there's like weariness and talk about running after something or chasing something. That itself makes you more tired. Maybe it's appropriate for you to focus on the whole list, every one of those things. Maybe you want to zero in on one of those things. Maybe you say, you know what, I do okay persevering, but I'm never gentle. I'm always the bull in the china shop just trampling everybody else down because I'm persevering. And you say, well, okay, it's good to persevere, but how about that last thing on the list of gentleness? Good for me to run after that.